I found Stabby.
Hey, welcome to Southeastern Zone, 90.9 FM KSLU. This is Experience Points. I'm MG.
I'm Red Bear.
He's back. Red Bear.
Back from Seattle's.
For those who don't know, welcome to Experience Points.
Hey, guys.
This is a show where we talk about nerd and geek stuff. That's movies, that's TVs, that's games, news, all that stuff. Opinions. Tons of opinions.
No, my opinions are facts.
Every Wednesday from 9 to 10, sometimes we're a little offset or something like that. Today is May 18th. There's nothing significant about today. It's just
Wednesday.
I just like yelling the dates out.
Wow. Is that what's happening now?
Yep. We record all these shows and we play them for you. And if you miss one or if you've missed all
of
them,
studio audience,
we have a website. Bear, what is the website?
Head over to exppoints.com and double tap the P.
We have all of our news, reviews, all of our backed up podcasts, all of our cut and trimmed audio. They're cut and trimmed, bro.
Yeah, they look neat.
And trimmed.
Kind of like
they
your
look
hair.
Neat. Oh, thanks, man.
Yeah.
We also have social media landing page. You can go to exppoints.com/social. You go to Facebook, Google Plus, Twitter, Steam Community, all that type of stuff. YouTube's even on there. And we also have Patreon and PayPal if you want to donate to the show. And we're streamable on Stitcher, iTunes, I think Spotify by now, and Google Play Music Podcast. I've always screwed that up, but not today.
Good job.
Not
I'm so
today.
Proud of you.
We are going to cut to two songs.
Let's do that. And that should probably explain the intro.
We are only going to come back. We're going to come back after one song.
One song?
Because we need to explain this intro.
Yeah, I feel like y'all need to know.
This is Night Force by Power Glove. We'll catch you after the break on Experience Points on Southeastern Zone.
90.9 FM KSLU.
Hey, we're back on Southeastern Zone, 90.9 FM KSL. You still Experience Points. I'm G.
I'm Red Baron.
That was Night Force by Power Glove. Before that, I actually didn't intro the entire, like, what the song
I
played.
I knew something was off.
Something was off. That was Airbrushed by Anna Monoguchi.
Okay,
those from the show will know that what that was, but that's what
because
that was.
Because we played it once or twice.
Yep, we played it once or twice. This is the segment of the show where we talk about what we did last week before going on to a main segment of the show. Bear, what did you do last 2 weeks? You weren't here last time.
Yeah, I wasn't here, but we should explain the intro still.
Oh, yeah. So he said, I found Stabby.
I did. I was really happy about what I said because I was extremely distressed about that.
So before every show, we get in the studio and we sort of like, we're turning it up.
Yeah.
And
it was like the first show I ever did.
Yeah.
There was a stapler.
There was a stapler.
On
the desk. This orange and like black stapler.
Yeah, like
or
from the leftover from like the 60s.
Yeah. And he just picks it up and he opens it up and he looks at it. And
I don't know why.
He's examining it and he takes it and he just slams it on his knee, like on his leg.
Yeah.
And I think he is stapled. And I think I'm going to have to take him
to
the hospital.
Flips out.
What if there's blood? What if
he
there's blood?
He just saw someone die.
So, and then you take it away from your leg and nothing
like, happens.
There's nothing.
So it turned out there's no staples. I actually didn't know that going in.
Right.
I have no idea what possessed me to test Stabby.
There was no staples in it. And there haven't been staples in it for the last year plus.
We know this because I have tried it every show.
Every show he comes out.
Now, today we went over there and Stabby was gone for the first time in like 2 years.
You leave for 1 week, Stabby had to go and find you.
Yeah, apparently. So I'm freaking out. The people in the other booth are staring at us.
Yeah.
Think something's actually wrong. Like ready to call an ambulance.
You're looking around like you're having a stroke.
I was terrified.
I didn't even know where this...
basically, and then I ended up running through the whole studio, and I found Stabby in a cabinet.
Yeah.
And then I tried Stabby, and he's still out of staples.
Yep, he's still toothless.
Yeah, so I figured that would have been, like, probably the highest percent chance that he would have had staples.
So that is...
Thus far.
So that was the most immediate thing that's happened in your life?
Yeah.
Let's go back a little bit farther, up to two weeks ago. You were gone. You went up to Seattle.
I went to Seattle to...
You had to defend your title.
Yeah, at Everfree Northwest with Jen, and that's why I don't have much to say, because I don't recall.
Oh, wow.
So, lots of Fireball.
Flashback.
Lots of Fireball.
Two shows ago...
Do not try to out-drink her in Fireball.
You were talking about you had to defend... You had the gauntlet thrown down, internet drinking challenge.
Right, yeah.
And you flew up. I assume you flew up.
I flew up
to Seattle to defend this challenge,
right.
Represent the South. And did
you
fail?
I don't think I failed, but
I don't know if I won.
I'm never going to try to dethrone Jen.
There
I can tell
no
you that, because she's pretty
contest.
Much... Well, she's declared herself the patron saint of lesbians in Fireball.
All right. Well.
So, and I'll give her that on both counts. Jesus. But I did try hard. I think we're okay. All right. I don't know. She'll be down here in January to go on a cruise, and so I'll re-challenge
her. You've got a little bit of
time.
It'll
be home turf advantage.
That's it. We're not going to beat her up. I don't know how that even matters.
In drinking.
Come over to my bar and then jump her, get her.
So losing Stabby was probably the second most traumatic thing that's happened to me this week.
What was
this
first?
Past couple weeks? The first was I was getting ready to come home from the con.
Right.
And I grabbed my Game Boy. Uh-huh. I'm sorry, I'm old. It's actually a 3DS. Oh. XL. It's red. It's pretty. Anyway, I go to turn it on. The blue light comes on. The blue light goes off. So I figure, okay, battery's dead.
Right.
Plug it in. Come back a couple hours later. Turn it on. Blue light comes on. Blue light goes off.
Uh-oh.
So now I have to rip it apart. As I kept... apparently be an issue with the ribbon cables that run through
the part
hinge.
That opens and closes.
Yeah,
like every Dell monitor ever.
Right, exactly. So
or every Dell laptop forever.
And it's apparently to the speaker probably, but that can apparently take down the whole system.
Oh wow!
So I'm gonna find some micro tools and rip that apart.
I guess it's a Nintendo console. That means it's all these triangle bits.
It's the triangle. No, I was looking. It's a plus.
Oh okay.
Yeah. So
Philips.
Yeah, Philips. Well, I mean. Isn't Philips a little different?
No, Philips is a plus.
You know what? Shut up. Cool. That was traumatic, and I was going to be on a 4-hour flight with no Game Boy.
Mm.
But at least I did download some movies on my phone.
That's what
and watch them through the spiderweb cracks.
You go through the airport, and there's probably like a vending machine that sells 3DSs.
Oh, yeah, but you have to have money for those.
You'd have to buy
it. I thought about just breaking the glass.
You'd have to buy it. I remember I was walking through like a Sears or a JCPenney's or something, and there was a vending machine that was literally selling quadcopters. I'm like, why? Why do we need a vending machine? It's not Japan.
Well, you know? I mean, no, it's not. We're a little less
It would have
weird.
Been ironic if there was a vending machine selling underwear inside of JCPenney's where they sell underwear. That would have been ironic.
Yeah.
Well, cool. So
yeah, so that's pretty much what I've been up to.
Two weeks of prepping for the con, and then conning,
and then coming back and losing all my technology.
Very cool. I actually had a pretty uneventful week. You know what? I'll say this. We've been talking about doing the different parts of EXP points for a while.
Right.
And we started doing that with Tech Kazoo and kind of branching that out a little bit more.
Do we actually have kazoos yet?
No. It's just sort of a fun, you know, gimmicky name, I guess.
I was promised kazoos. That's all I'm saying.
I was going to make a font out of kazoos, just rotate kazoos, but I didn't do that.
Half of your ideas are the worst.
Yeah, it was really, really bad. The other half, though, I can't even talk about it on air. The latest thing in that Tech Kazoo, of course, is for like technology and hardware type stuff. The latest thing is Video Game Rewind, where we'll start posting some sort of throwback reviews, let's plays, walkthroughs, things like that, and just segments about games that have come out, obviously. It's not going to be about games that are coming out or brand new games. It will be about games that probably are, you know, a few generations old or at least a generation old. And you know,
because they deserve reviews, too.
They deserve reviews, too. You know, there are some of the best games for PlayStation 2 and for Xbox, the original Xbox, and even for, like, Super Nintendo and Genesis, the 16-bit era. So, I mean, it's worthy to go back and look at those.
I will say, just because a game's old doesn't mean it's not fun.
Absolutely not.
The inverse is true.
I saw this really awesome video. It's called Every JRPG Ever by College Humor. It is fantastic.
Oh,
it is every Final Fantasy, Illusions of Gaia, Chrono Cross, Chrono Trigger, Legend of Dragoon. I mean, just everything.
Nice.
Right down to Kingdom Hearts and Mega Man Legends. It is just perfect. So I highly recommend that you look that up if you want to. Started building a little robot.
You're getting on my team.
Got a little robot kit from one of the instructors here on campus. It's an Edison. Yeah. He gave it to me, and he was like, "Hey, here, you want this?" I'm like, "I'm really gonna have time." No, take it.
What does your Edison do?
It's just like a tank bot with auto wall detection and everything. We're not gonna have a war, but battle bots or meta bots. Sorry, my bad. Different. Played a little bit of the original Doom. Ultimate Doom.
Oh wow! Did you play it on a toaster?
No, I played it. It was in DOSBox, but I own all the Dooms except the newest one, and I will be getting that one eventually. We are going to talk about it a little bit in the show. But
I'm actually probably next month going to start rebuilding my computer.
Awesome.
So,
Very cool.
Yeah, I might actually have things to talk about gaming related again.
Very, very cool.
Now that I've lost every gaming device I have except for my Wii.
You can play games on your phone through the
FireWire. I've actually tried. This phone would not even load up anything.
Oh,
it won't load up the Mii.
That's
Mii
terrible.
Or whatever, Mio.
Yeah,
or anything. So I'm upset.
So that's what I pretty much did. So it was kind of a blah week. It was a little bit building on the platform. It was a little bit playing some classic games. And yeah, so I mean, that's about it.
Oh, one thing I actually did want to mention about Everfree Northwest, the con I was at, is they raised over $20,000 for the children's hospital out there.
Outstanding.
So I thought that was really cool. Yeah, so good job, guys.
So it was exclusive, like a pony con.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, it's on My Little Pony.
The issue that I have with, not with My Little Pony or even conventions, it's the audience surrounding hating on that site. It's hating on any type of con culture, because most of the time, like, conventions are not for profit. Like a lot of, especially the smaller conventions, they contribute to Let's Play, or they contribute to just a lot of charities, and it's really nice, because I think it's a win-win. You get people that care about the media and care about the content of why the content is being held.
And cons themselves are. Get a lot of people who are excuse me, I can't talk on the radio today, but who are maybe you heard that?
Maybe
I'm going to back up for a second, breathe. Who are maybe a little socially awkward and don't have, you know, the type of people around them surrounding.
Yeah.
And then you go to a con and all these people have at least a common interest in something.
I could even say, I could extend that to, you know, football. Like,
oh yeah, football's a con. Yeah, you jocks are nerds. You don't realize
the Super Bowl. It's the exact same.
They even have cosplay. Seriously, have you seen the stadiums?
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, everybody, you think buying a jersey and wearing that's any different from wearing an anime shirt or dressing
basically.
Up with, you know, Queen of Blades all over you? So, just saying.
That's what I'm saying.
We're going to cut two songs. We're going to come back. We're going to talk about our main segments in game, TV, and movie news. This is Power of Love by Five Dragons, followed by IKEA by Jonathan Colton. Catch you after the break. I'm MG.
And I'm Red Bear.
You've been listening to Experience Points exclusively on Southeastern Zone
90.9 FM KSLU.
Hey, we're back on Southeastern Zone, 90.9 FM, KSLU, still Experience Points. I'm still MG.
And I am still Red Bear.
That was IKEA by Jonathan Colton. Before that, The Power of Love by I Fight Dragons. Really, really cool stuff
Woo!
From those guys. Let's go ahead and talk about the main segment of the show.
Main segment.
All right. We're going to get real.
I'm ready.
We're going to get so real because...
I don't even know what's on it this time.
Let's talk about Call of Duty.
He sent me the email.
Quick. Call of Duty Infinite Warfare. The trailer dropped, I don't know, maybe like 2-3 weeks ago. Maybe it was 2 weeks ago.
Right.
And Infinite Warfare takes it to the next level, and that next level is pretty much the start of Call of Duty Ghost, which is in space.
Space!
Call of Duty Infinite Warfare, it takes you from being a ground troop to jumping into a helicarrier thing, big giant ship, and flying into space, going through the atmosphere and having space battles, literally almost every other game that's coming out now.
Right, because we are obsessed
Star
with space
Citizen,
again.
Elite Dangerous, No Man's Sky, we're talking about space sims. Call of Duty is not a space sim or even a sim. It is a first-person shooter aimed at multiplayer almost exclusively sometimes. So,
what was that? Event Horizon?
Event Horizon.
Was that old game? Where you were...
Wing Commander?
No, not that old. Not that old.
Event Horizon was a movie with Morpheus.
Not the movie with Morpheus.
And the guy.
They're not actors.
And Dr. Grant from Jurassic Park.
I think it was Event Horizon. It was the first-person shooter in space that was really, like, hyper-realistic.
Oh, no, that's Shattered Horizon.
Shattered Horizon.
Yeah. That was by Future Mark, which makes... They make benchmarks, so it was very, very nice.
Yes.
I imagine it's going to be similar to that. The game looked very pretty. I mean, it's hard to make a bad looking game nowadays when especially when you're Call of Duty. Is that EA and Activision? I can't remember if that's EA and Activision. Whenever you got that much behind it, it's bound to look good, you know? And it looks very nice. It looks very shiny. But there's so much hate. There were like millions of views of the 25 million views or whatever, there were so many dislikes, far more dislikes than actually likes.
And I didn't even look at that.
One of the lead guys from Call of Duty, from whoever makes Call of Duty, I can't remember the trailer or whatever, from the COD Warriors or whatever, he addresses that and he said something to the effect of, man, you really got to give it to the community. Only they would be this into a game. And I'm like, he says something like, it's only with Call of Duty that you can get this type of Participation by, and I'm like,
I don't know. I think Blizzard may disagree
right now.
You're
dancing around. Well, yeah. but he was dancing around. I feel like he was actually really dancing around the idea of it was all negative stuff. Like, a lot of it was negative.
Right.
Then he addresses it and he says, you know, Call of Duty Ghost or Call of Duty Black Ops 3, I can't remember, that, or Black Ops 2, that was the lowest reviewing. Like, they thought that game was going to crash and burn and terrible, and it was actually one of the best games they've ever made. It was one of the most profitable games they've ever made. People, I guess the long story short, people love Call of Duty.
People do.
People love,
like,
Call of Duty so much.
I'm not a huge fan, but people love their Call of Duties.
People love Call of Duty. The nice thing about Infinite Warfare is that they are also remaking Modern Warfare 1.
I know. That I'm actually excited about, because
really,
I did
really
love
cool.
that game, the single player.
In a different world, though, there's the people that like the Call of Duty, and then there's right. people that like the Battlefields. So Call of Duty, Battlefield 4, Battlefield Hardline,
battle,
which was,
if you will.
Yeah, a different field of battle. For a long time, and I think we were old enough to remember the PlayStation 1 and PlayStation 2 early versions of Medal of Honor, Call of Duty, and Battlefield.
Yes, I am.
Battlefield was, I believe it was in like World War II.
Yeah, it was not Battlefield 1942.
1942 was in World War II, and then there was Vietnam, Bad Company.
Right.
And then there was Call of Duty, which was World War II as well. Medal of Honor, which I believe was World War II. Battlefield.
We were obsessed with World War II at one point, by the way, kids.
Battlefield.
Now we're obsessed with space.
Is, yeah, well, except with Battlefield.
Except with Battlefield.
Battlefield.
Here we go.
Is re-releasing or making a game called Battlefield 1, and it is set in World War I.
Okay.
Which is really awesome, because we didn't have a lot of technology in World War II. Can you imagine what we didn't have in World War
I? Yeah, that's interesting, because I don't know of anyone that's really done that. I could be completely wrong.
I don't know. Whenever, you know, I don't
World
know.
War II is completely overdone.
World War II has been overdone, so we're actually going farther back.
You get Nazis and a gun, and there you go. You have a game.
The
throwing some zombies.
We are getting a lot of really cool imagery from here. The main character seems to be African American, and World War I only featured a few African American squadrons. There's axes, you know, there's melee with some melee type of bayonets, axes, handheld type stuff. There's old school tanks. There's horseback riding instead of, you know, four wheelers or anything like that. We're seeing a lot of really neat stuff, and I'd be willing to bet that, you know, as underpowered as some of the equipment will be, as some of the vehicles would
right.
be, they'll have their own nuance to it. I'm pretty excited about this.
Yeah,
because
I'm interested to see what they do with the mechanics.
I didn't care about Hardline, which was the police version of it.
Yeah.
I didn't even really care about Battlefield 4. I got it because I thought that was going to be the cool thing.
Well, I'm not that into first-person shooters anymore. I had my Counter-Strike phase.
In the mid-2000s?
Yeah, 1.6.
Yeah.
And then Source. And, you know, I was one of the old people that complained about Source
yep.
and the hitboxes.
And in first-person shooter news, there has been a blurb about Prey 2. And I don't know exactly what that blurb is. But they said we will see something at E3.
I enjoyed Prey.
Prey was one of my favorite games.
I think it was extremely underrated.
Prey, well, so...
Am I thinking of the right game?
Yeah, you're thinking of Prey, where you play an American Indian, you get abducted, and then you have to kind of become...
I hate what they make you do in that game.
Yeah.
I really didn't want to do the thing.
Yeah.
I'm not going to spoil it.
The really awesome thing about Prey was that it followed suit with a lot of the older school games like Duke 3D, where you literally could almost interact with everything in the entire world.
Yeah.
The first 10 minutes of the game is in it's in sort of a Indian reserve bar where
right,
you could play four different pinball games, poker games, you know, retro games. You can listen to like an entire CD's worth of music on the jukebox. You can watch some TV, pick up things. It was very, very cool and super interactive. The fact that Prey 2 was canceled after a really awesome teaser trailer a while back was kind of a letdown, but apparently a different sort of studio is going to be doing it. And we're going to see something
good
at this E3, so that's one thing I'm really looking forward to in the summer.
I
you know?
Really loved both the gravity mechanics and the death mechanic they had, which I thought was really cool.
Where you would be a spirit.
Yeah, and you had to find your way back.
Yeah.
It was really cool. Go play Prey.
Yep, go play Prey. Let's talk about old games that have been canceled that we have recently found out about.
All right. I feel like this is like the Hungry Games right
this is
now.
Let's talk about this.
Up here in the sky.
The Elder Scrolls IV Oblivion. That game wasn't canceled, clearly. We played it. It was awesome.
Right.
It had Sir Patrick Stewart, I believe, in it.
Yes.
As the king. But did you know that they were working on a PlayStation Portable version of the game?
No, I
did
not.
They were.
God, I miss the PSP so much. That thing was like my heart through college.
I'll say this. The PSP, it did some things really, really well.
It did some amazing things.
Sometimes people tried to do things with it that weren't that good.
Some games weren't great, but like, honestly, that hardware for that time period was like God's gift to man.
The UMD, unfortunately, the UMD disc is very bad.
Well, yeah. Okay, I will say Sony's stupid.
The Universal Media Disc
the
combined,
and the Magic Gate.
Combined with the Magic Gate disc thing you had to put in there.
That stupid card was so much
money. Really, really annoying.
I just want an SD card.
But they made Oblivion, or they started making, and they ended up canceling a version of Oblivion for the PlayStation Portable. We recently got footage of what that game looked like, and I was incredibly surprised. It was ridiculous at how much they were, that I was looking at a PSP game. I could just as easily have been looking at maybe a Wii U game, or at least a Wii game. And I'm not saying that the Wii or the Wii U is very powerful.
But when you put it in your hand.
But when you put it in your hand, it's pretty awesome. Right. So that was really cool. We're kind of going to move a little forward to Final Fantasy X, 2001. This wasn't canceled. Right. 2001, right. Final Fantasy came out for PlayStation 2. After that, years after that, a decade after that, a PC version of that game was released on Steam. And it didn't have a big hurrah, no big giant fanfare for it. But Final Fantasy X is a really well-loved game.
It is.
It's available.
It has a huge cult following.
It's available on PS3.
Nine's the best.
PS Vita. It's on PS4 in multiple remastered, reversioned copies. But it has a lot of free time in his hands, gamer, is modding the PC version to run at 60 frames per second.
Oh, okay.
Which is kind of cool. Nice. There were some demos that he showed of the opening and just, everything running at 60 frames per second.
Looking pretty.
For those that don't really get the thing about 60 frames, more whatever, it's effectively, imagine this, it's not like you're watching something that has been recorded and played back faster. It's that all of the dynamic objects in the game, all of the engine of the game can now happen on a double scale, which means you can get a lot more definition to some things. You can get a lot more, less jagginess, less zoom.
The world is being rendered at 60 frames a second,
right,
rather than like a film just being
played
like
back.
24 frames, right, and then just having things pasted in it to make it 60.
If you played a movie back at twice the speed to get 60 frames a second, then you just get a movie that's twice as short or half as long.
Or if you do it like TVs actually do,
you interleave.
Yeah, and then you estimate what frames are between them, and you get this weird.
It's the moving things in there. Moving things are really cool. Everything moving around the things that's standing still is really jaggy and interlaced and pixelated. So one modder
TV till you see that.
One modder is doing that with Final Fantasy X. My question is it worth it? So you play Final Fantasy X. It's not really even looking that bad at 30 frames per second, which is locked at. I know some people were getting upset about, how Square Enix isn't opening that up to 60 frames. Why aren't they doing anything to do that? Right. The game was released in 2001. I mean, is it even worth it to put that much time and dedication into something?
Well, I'd say
if you're
enjoying it,
it's absolutely
worth it.
But so my question is,
I mean, I wouldn't do it just because you want to be known for the guy that made Final Fantasy X 60 frames a second.
Right.
But like, if you're like, oh man, I really want to play this at 60 frames a second.
I mean, you do what you got to do. You do what makes you feel happy. But I guess my thing is, we live in a PC world, predominated PC world, predominantly when games come out on PlayStation on PlayStation 4, they're 60 frames per second. And that's as fast as we're going to get. 1080p, 60 frames per second. That's the cap. And now maybe the new PS4 is going to do 4K at 120 or 4K at 60 or whatever. But if you have a PC, you'll be able to get as big a size monitor as you want. You can get 3440 by 1440 if you want, super ultra wide, at thousands of frames a second, especially with Pascal and the new 1080 and 1070s that are coming out from NVIDIA. So, It's normal for a game to be 60 frames per second, but a game that was released in 2001 that's been sort of remastered and re-updated, I don't really feel it. It's not like 30 frames is terrible to look at, but that's just me. Just an opinion.
Yeah. It's your opinion, man.
Speaking of remasters, Valkyria Chronicles, do you know what it is?
No, I do not.
Valkyria Chronicles is a game. It's sort of like an anime-styled RPG, RTS. I guess it's, both of those things. Where in the neat thing is you take control of the individual characters, move them around in third-person view, and then get to attack other people.
Oh,
it is awesome in that it came out for PlayStation 3 a while back, then was released for, it was by Sega, it was then released for Steam, and I think it had a boxed release, and now they're re-releasing it for PlayStation 4. Looks beautiful, plays great. They didn't really do anything extra for the re-release, but it is a really awesome game, and I imagine it's going to be probably like $20. So if you're looking for a game that really stood up, it's got a really nice art style, even though it's anime style. It's got this like scratchy graphics engine, so it looks like it's doodled or whatever.
I always love when they do cool things with the graphics that aren't just like pretty looking graphics, but are very stylized.
Right, it's a super stylized, but it's also a very pretty game. Yeah. And the voice acting most of the time is pretty
Elysian
good.
Elysian Tale is one of my favorite styles.
Yeah, that hand-drawn sort of thing. It's so pretty. Games that have come out recently, Doom 2016. Yeah, really big Doom release.
If I had a computer, I would be playing that.
It was last Friday, so Friday the 13th. Glad that you came back unscathed on Friday the 13th. And the general,
I came back on Monday. I skipped it.
The general,
I was drunk. Friday.
The general feel behind Doom 2016 is that it's very fast, but that's what Doom was all about back in the day. It's a really, really good adaptation of a previous game, a previous version, the whole idea sort of being brought into 2016 and optimized for not changing to be what first-person shooters are today, but, you know, mimicking them enough to get people that, you know, haven't ever played the original Doom to play them, but definitely being faithful to the original material, which is really, really nice. It looks great. It kicks so much hell butt. It's really, really good. And this brings up something that I know you remember, but some other people may not remember. Back in the day when Doom was new and DirectX was new and Windows 95 was your choice operating system, Bill Gates did an entire sort of almost like keynote for the DirectX API and video games on the PC as a Marine in the Doom game. Do you remember this at all?
I do, actually.
This is, it's scary when I watch it recently because you know, you see a Doom level playing out, and then all of a sudden like the gun drops down and you realize that the Marine, who normally is just kind of grunting and kind of every frame that you move, he's kind of got this weird, you know, Castle Wolfenstein, you know, head bob going on based off of how much blood and how much, you know, life has left. You realize that that's Bill Gates. It's not the Marine, certainly.
Right.
And then you see Bill Gates step out with a shotgun and in a trench coat. For some reason, in a trench coat instead of armor, he steps out and he's like, "Man, I tell you, the neighborhood nowadays." And he starts talking about how ID and how all these other games work so well on the PC, that DOS had so many of these problems with playing games because it was hard to write games for them. And now that the DirectX API, Windows 95, and of course everything Windows, Microsoft.
Matt's talking a lot because I'm emailing. He's getting aggravated.
That API is the way to do it. And that was back in the day. But surely that's where we're at now. I mean, as goofy and as campy as that, like, was, that tie-in was, because even like a pixelated Marine, infested Marine comes up and he's like, bam, he shoots him with this awkward thing, this like weird fake recoil, and he's like, "Don't interrupt me." He does this stupid thing.
I've forgotten all about that whole thing.
It's so goofy, but it's nice to know at least he was right. I mean, here we are now, and PCs are the gaming platforms. They're not exclusively PCs.
No,
you
but
know, you get a little bit of Mac for, I guess, any game.
Since they figured out Intel is good.
Well, not even. The problem with Mac is that they've got a different an OpenGL architecture. They're not up to the latest spec. And then their other architecture, their other API for video game graphics is just not utilized the right way. So, but you got Steam machines.
Microsoft has a good thing going with DirectX.
Oh, yeah.
There you go.
Dragon Ball Xenoverse 2 is announced. That was a big thing because Xenoverse, it was a side-scrolling beat-em-up.
Yeah,
I guess it wasn't exclusively side-scrolling, but it's pretty big beat-em-up. That's coming 2016. We don't have a date yet, though. And let's talk about some Fallout 4 before we cut to another song and then to
another
more
Fallout
stuff.
4 segment.
Fallout let's 4 Far Harbor DLC is coming out tomorrow. Whether that's tomorrow at midnight or midnight tonight, I can't remember, but it's coming out on the 19th. But what would you say if there was the entire mod leaked, or the entire DLC leaked as a mod on the Nexus? Somebody found it. Somebody broke NDA, and they were able to find all of the stuff from the beta, and they released it as a mod on Nexus. Now, since then, it's been obviously taken down.
Right.
But that's kind of weird. Kind of a little weird that they would release the entire mod or the entire DLC as a mod, which is weird because like, I think 800 people downloaded it. Which doesn't seem like a lot.
I don't like when people do that, because that's the same issues we had like with Half-Life 2 releasing.
Right.
I mean, I
think there's something to be said for the developers doing it the developers' way.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of people that's worked very hard to make this content.
Yep.
I mean, and honestly, it should be a respect thing to respect their timelines and enjoy the anticipation like everyone else.
Yeah, I mean,
but that's just like
me,
man.
It was put up, I think, yesterday, and it's coming out today or tomorrow. You know, it's
right, yeah,
coming out within 2 days, and you did that.
Enjoy it with everyone else.
I know people were spoiling the story. Apparently, this is very story driven, especially regarding Nick Valentine. Like, there's something,
yeah.
and you got that from the trailer, the teaser trailer. You had Nick Valentine's voice in there. It was really, really nice, and it made me want to play it. But I don't want to know how it's spoiled. I don't want anyone to spoil it.
No,
you know, I want to experience that all myself. And it kind of sucks that this happened. I don't think the guy is going to get caught or whatever. It's just a fake account that got uploaded. You could upload whatever mod you want. So,
but yeah, lesson: don't be jerks, people.
Don't be jerks. This is going to be a song for you. How to Fire a Gun by Shel Riley and the Double Eyes Backfire. We'll come back and end out the show with some more information. I'm MG.
And I'm Red Bear.
Listen to Experience Points on South Houston Zone
90.9 FM KSLU.
I would like to learn how to fire a gun.
Hey, we're back on Southeastern Zone, 90.9 FM, KSLU, still Experience Points, IMG.
I'm Red Bear.
That was How to Fire a Gun by Shel Riley and the Double Eyes Backfire. More news about movies and TV stuff.
Let's do that.
It has been reported that Tetris is getting a movie? Question mark?
Okay, Angry Birds got a movie, so why not?
Well, I think Angry Birds is a little more capable of having some
actually,
sort of storyline.
Actually, Angry Birds does look kind of funny, I'll be honest.
Yeah, but,
I'm going to see
but,
it.
But, I mean, what can you say about Tetris? You know what this sounds like? It sounds like somebody was like hey,
Pinball Hero?
You know, Pixels, Pinball
oh,
Wizard.
Oh, God.
Pixels wasn't that bad of a movie.
Yes, it was.
And who's Adam Sandler's the only one that's saying that. I'm pretty sure Peter Dinklage and Paul, not Paul Blart, whoever played Paul Blart, you know, Kevin James, like, they all thought Pixels was probably bad, and
I mean,
it was just not good. It was people that are like, man, you can't talk about being a gamer. You didn't play it on Atari 2600. That them's the real games, and then you play on a 2600, and you're like, man, give me Madden, give me anything, literally.
Wow, I will even take Madden.
I'll even take Madden. Apparently
Tetris,
they're getting a movie.
What are you
it's
gonna do
weird.
With that?
I don't know what you can do with that. It's in the early stages, but apparently like Asteroids and a few other like Missile Command. I can imagine Missile Command.
Missile Command
a movie.
Could be an amazing movie because you know the story.
It'll be Michael Bay.
It'd be a
mixed
terrifying
with, like,
film.
London Has Fallen and just a bunch of stuff. So
a terrifying movie.
On similar movie news, Nintendo has been sort of unofficially saying that like, we want to make movies. Which is pretty cool. Like, I would really like a Zelda movie. Zelda's got a really rich story. I could care less about Mario.
Could try to get the timeline together. Well, they tried Mario, let's be honest.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that. That wasn't Nintendo, though.
That wasn't Nintendo, but we did learn that Mario's last name
is
Mario.
Mario.
So there you go.
Luigi Mario. For these people that don't know what we're talking about, man.
It was a horrible film.
Go watch it. Look at
go
Mario and Luigi, the movie.
Hate your life and go watch it.
It is pretty awesome. I actually enjoyed
it. I don't think you did.
I enjoyed it.
I think you remember enjoying it and you're wrong.
I've watched it within the last year. And I think I enjoyed how bad it was.
Okay. I will give you that.
No, Nintendo wants to make movies, and I kind of think, you know, that'd be pretty awesome. Though I'd want to see like some of them, some movie ideas maybe turn into TV shows, like Splatoon. I think it could make an awesome TV show.
I think
TV
that could
show.
Be a series, yeah.
Yeah, daytime series. I think that'd be really great. Sell it to Cartoon Network, man. They will put it
on
there.
Oh, man. They need to hook up with Vocaloid, actually, for the Squid Sisters and go on tour.
Yep.
I would go to that.
Yep, I think.
I'd go to any Vocaloid.
Well, Vocaloids, they're making bank right now.
Yeah.
And you know what's sad?
Man, so many people are like, oh, what was it?
Hatsune Miku or whatever.
Yeah.
They go to conventions and concerts to see literally just someone hit space bar and a program play. And that's awesome for the people that made it, except they probably aren't making that much money off of it. Japan's
probably
really weird
not.
About that. Like, you get the developers.
No, they are bad at making money.
They're bad at making money. So in TV news, let's talk about the Marvel Cinematic Universe. And
all
the Marvel
right.
TV
I need to
universe.
Watch...
you haven't watched Captain America Civil War?
No, I haven't watched Civil War, so don't spoil it. I mean, I've read the comics, so...
It's nothing like the comics.
Okay.
It's weird. I talked about it in the last show, but it's weird. Just a quick recap. It's the comic... If you enjoyed the comics, like, I don't know if you're going to like Civil War. Like, it's a weird... If you really enjoyed how not specifically about Captain America... The Civil War comic series was.
Right. Well, I was concerned when they did call it Captain America.
Just consider it's called Captain America Civil War.
Right.
You know? Everybody, and Josh Whedon says this awesome quote. He goes, you know, how they were asking about your ensemble cast sort of shows and TVs, yeah. Movies. Really, they make they're the experience. They're the big deal. So, you know, why do you think that is? And he says, you know, this is an exact quote, but he says to the effect of, everybody that's on screen is the hero. Whenever you focus on somebody, okay. They are the hero. And whenever you focus on somebody else, they're also the hero. The entire story is about them, and then also about this other person, and then also about this
good.
Other person.
Yeah, that's a good way to approach it.
And you can see that in the Avengers, you know, the Loki, the story was about Loki when it was on Loki.
Yeah.
And it was about... I can't remember the guy, Thanos. It was about Thanos. Whenever the camera was on Thanos, Thanos was all about it.
Yep.
He even says, how do you take a guy about a bow and arrow and you put him up against a guy like Iron Man or Captain America or somebody and make him matter and make people like him? And he goes, you throw your family in there, you know?
Yeah.
So, but let's talk about, so Agent Carter's been canceled. That happened.
Right.
They canceled
yeah.
Agent Carter.
I saw that coming.
Even though I think that was doing really well.
I believe it was. I saw it coming.
I think it was one of those things where after Captain America, they introduced the character
yeah.
of Agent Carter, and they kept that sort of going. And then it kind of, that was the end. Journey was over, you know?
I will say Marvel is interesting because they're doing really good at making movies, but not so good at making TV shows.
Well, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. seems to be good. It's there's this disconnect, and one of the Chloe Bennett, the actress that plays Chloe Bennett, or if that's her real name, I can't remember.
Right.
She was at a convention, and she said, you know, somebody said, would you like the character that you play to be in a cinematic universe? And she says, well, yeah, of course I would. But, you know, it seems like Marvel's not really interested in that, because if they would be interested in that, we're having such a hard time with Hive in the show, with the right. villain in the show. And why can't they just send the Vision? You know, Coulson knows everybody. Why can't he pick up Carl Hunt and get Sam L. Jackson down there with a helicarrier, or get the Vision to pop up, or get, you know, Iron Man to fly in and just kind of take 2 minutes out of his day? Send one of the. I know he's got a suit that can build itself or whatever. Something that will fix all that. So it seems like one of those things where. Maybe we look at our concerns. You look at the TV universe and you say, okay, here they're fighting bad guys. But right. The bad guys are just like bullies at a high school. They're not terrorists at in another country.
And here's something I will say about that. I was actually trying to think of what the disconnect was. They have actually stated that the TV releases do not affect the movie releases.
Well,
they aren't cross-universe.
So some people have said that. Other people have not said or have said that. We don't know. It's up in the air. You never know. So Jonathan Cole, or not Jonathan Cole, Josh Whedon went on a show and said, he was at like a stand-up or whatever, and he said that it was a really good idea bringing Coulson back, but, you know, people could die in the movie universe, but then not die in the TV universe,
right.
And people could die in the TV universe, and they might still be alive in the movie universe, but I guess maybe as a viewer... That's hard to sort of...
Yeah, if you connect the two universes, I think you could build a much more interesting platform.
Yeah.
Because that basically you use the TV shows between major releases of movies.
Right. And
to keep the hype going.
I would want... You know, that would work for...
Not that they've done a bad job, because clearly...
Right. They're rolling, they're drowning in money right now.
Right.
I would say,
DC's
you know...
DC's trying,
Poor DC. I want it to work out so much, but I the entire time I was watching Civil War... I started thinking, like, the universe is getting so big,
right.
And we have like the spinal cord of movies like the Avengers and like the core critical, the Civil War movie that was not just about Captain America.
Right.
The Avengers, certainly all the Avengers movies will have the Avengers in it. The Iron Man movie seems to be more or less just Iron Man, but it's weird. It shouldn't be called Captain America Civil War. It literally should have been called Avengers Civil War.
Yeah, that's what I...
Because
Civil War should have been Avengers.
It should have been Avengers, X-Men, just everybody. It affected everybody, but anyway.
Oh, well, sure, it did affect...
That's the biggest change, is it's not just about the Avengers
America
doing
does
something.
Concern me.
Yeah, so... and then lastly, I found something. I dug something up from 2004.
Oh, no.
It was an unreleased.
Okay.
It was an unreleased pilot for a movie.
Okay,
and I think it was like a 3-hour pilot, like a miniseries,
okay.
a la Battlestar Galactica. But it was before. It was after Battlestar, because that was 2003.
Okay.
This was The Robinsons Lost in Space. the series, but the mini series movie. And it was so it was so interesting. I recently got all of the original Lost in Space series. I love that series. It's so good.
It was
good.
Fun.
It's on YouTube. The entire thing, part like 1 through 8, is on YouTube, and it's hard to watch because of the quality. Mm-hmm. But it's pretty interesting to know that they were at least trying to do something after, I think, the 2001 movie. Was that the movie with William Hurt?
I did enjoy that movie.
I like that movie. It was William Hurt.
I love the robots.
Gary Oldman.
Excellent job with that.
Yes, absolutely. So
actually had both of the robots.
I love the old school, and I love the new, the blue one, blue and red one. That was really cool. So we are out of time.
I guess we are fine.
But we knew that was going to happen. So. Yeah. We are going to catch you next week, but before we let you go, we're going to talk about the website where we have all of our news reviews, all of our podcasts, anything that we do with video games, and certainly all of our backed up and archived radio shows. What is the website, Bear?
It's at exppoints.com. Double tap the P.
If you want to hook up with us on social media, like Twitter, Facebook, Google+, and YouTube, as well as the Steam community, go to exppoints.com/social. That's the landing page. Click on all the buttons. Subscribe to us on iTunes, Stitcher, podcast.
Just subscribe to me. I like being streamed.
Just go to all that stuff. Please. Check out all the stuff. And if you'd like to give us money through Patreon or PayPal, you can do that as well. And see all the stuff we do. We're going to leave you with one song. This is The Will of One, the 2013 re-release by the Proto Man. And we'll catch you next week. You've been listening to Experience Points exclusively on Southeastern Zone.
90.9 FM KSLU.